for Newcastle United, fighting for cup finals on two fronts, witnessing the agony and ecstasy of the cup. This is the new Newcastle journey, though, and Wembley is on the horizon. Welcome to Black and White with Arab News.
At the edge of the area, Joe Linton strong in the challenge in midfield, and Willock goes out to the left wing, trying to get the better of Castagna, stopped by a combination of Castagna and Albrighton. Here's clearance blocked by Byrne. Castagna plays it against Willock, who wins it back. And Joe Linton and Byrne in the area. Dan Byrne! Oh! Oh! Dan Byrne's first Newcastle United goal. And it's a huge goal from the giant defender to put them in front.
As always, a warm welcome to our Arab News sports editor, Ali Khaled, himself no stranger to Wembley. AK, how are you?
I'm very well, Pete. How are you?
Good, good. I mean, we're saying that, you know, as a football fan, a Liverpool fan yourself, but you've been to the hallowed stadium, old and new.
Yes, I've been lucky enough to go to the old Wembley and the new Wembley as well. Although, like, the time I went to the new Wembley to watch Liverpool, they lost to Man City in the League Cup final. Something that, Newcastle are not going to have to do this year. It's just play Man City. Playing Man City, I was saying. Congratulations to Newcastle, to all the fans on reaching the semi-final of the League Cup for the first time in, was it 46 years?
It is, yes. I think it is. I think it's 1976 they played Manchester City in the League Cup final. Dennis Turrett scored the winner. Geordie Boy as well, Sutherland Boy, if we're right. But listen, what a week it's been. Let's start with that, Leicester. Let's start with the positive side.
Yeah,
a massive result against Leicester City on a great occasion. Scarves, flags, the social media from the club all week, Ali, was bring a black and white scarf. And I remember I followed this because I tagged it and I thought, wow, this is interesting. I want to see what happens. Every single person in that stadium had a scarf. Amazing scenes.
It was, you know, like the twirling of the scarves before the match, the atmosphere looked incredible. I think I saw a lot of comments on social media, people saying the match was won right there and then, you know, like even before the kickoff, you know, like it was a match Newcastle were never going to lose. The atmosphere just, you know, the team's been playing so well, but the atmosphere must have carried them, especially after the disappointment a few days earlier. But Newcastle were excellent. I mean, again, just, you could say the result was never in doubt once the first goal went in. And what a great way to, like, to ease yourself into the semi-finals. You know, like, must have been, you know, tension-free near the end. Just a massive celebration start to finish. Just looked like a fantastic day.
It started off 46 seconds and I thought, was it going to be one of those days? Miggy cut through, pulled it back. And Sean Longstaff on another day could have had four goals himself. Mm. I think if I was Eddie, I'd be saying to Sean maybe to stay behind for a bit of shooting practice after. But you're right that after that, it looked, and I think the pleasing thing, Ali, was that there was a small feeling of deja vu. Is it going to be another one of those days? Was it going to be a Leeds United? Was it going to be a Sheffield Wednesday? But amazingly, the man of the moment, Dan Byrne, you're never ever going to beat Dan Byrne. He's from Blyth, which is trending all over social media. But Roy of the Rover stuff, Ali, a cup quarter final, scoring your first goal for your boyhood team at the Gallagher end.
It was brilliant. And I think, we saw with the celebrations and the post match, videos
dancing.
As well. Yeah, the dancing. It's, what a moment it was for him. I think, you know, as you said, you know, the early part of the match, you know, is it going to be one of those days? I think only because it came on the back of like the 2-0 draws and the loss to Sheffield Wednesday. But really, again, you know, we've been saying it over the past weeks. I know, you know, you're keen not to jinx anything and all that, but as a neutral, I've been saying it time and again. I don't think, all these old cliches about Newcastle, they don't really like count anymore, saying things like, you know, all right, going away, we're really worried about who we play, or like, we don't want to jinx it, or is it going to be one of those days? I feel like, you know, whatever obstacles have been put in front of this team, they've overcome them, you know, pretty convincingly, you know, and the starting matches when maybe in the past the team would lose a little bit of momentum, maybe lose a bit of confidence if things aren't going their way. You don't see it anymore with this team, you know, like, and like I said, in that particular match with the fans behind them, it felt temporary. It felt temporary that, they might not be, you know, on top form in front of goal, you know, like as a hangover from the previous games. But once it came, it was pretty comfortable.
There's a lot of debate on social media among the Newcastle hashtag about the Sheffield Wednesday game. So I do want to acknowledge it. It was a poor game. Again, on another night, Newcastle may have scored three or four. They didn't. So the first question is, there's a couple of threads to this, Ali, is did Eddie Howe get it wrong with his team selection, or should that team, or not, you know, there was eight changes, should they have been at the races? This was their big chance.
I don't think he got it wrong. Because, I mean, I think it's one of those things that it's like easy to say in hindsight, of course, you know, with the result.
Especially with the game he had the following Tuesday, a quarterfinal.
Absolutely. I mean, we were saying last week that he's going to take both competitions seriously, and I think he did. And it was not a weak team that he put out, and they should be able to, on any day, beat Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, and that's the bottom line. It's always, you know, as we say, in hindsight, it's always easy to look back and say, oh, if only we did this and only that. But we were saying, look, and I think everybody agreed, you know, like it's good to have Alexander Isak back. You know, let's give him, some minutes on the pitch. If he gets a goal, you know, raises confidence, gets him back in the groove. And again, you know, it did come on the back of two nil-nil draws. You know, maybe it needed a little bit of a shake-up. I don't think he did. I don't think Eddie Howe was wrong to pick that team. It was still a strong team and should have won, you know. On the other hand, I would say one thing is that, and I did go on the record saying it, I thought he'd go for both competitions equally, which I think, you know, that's what he had in mind. But if I had to choose, and, you know, and obviously I'm not a Newcastle fan, it would have been the League Cup purely because it was, you know, you're further down the competition anyway. I mean, it's a great, I've said it time and again, it's a great competition to win. You know, it has been a stepping stone for so many managers as their first cup final or the first win. And, you know, again, you know, cup final in February, you know, if you win it, you know, whether you win it or lose it, but it, what a boost as well. And, you know, then you can go back to the league and concentrate on finishing, you know, in the top three or four, you know, and, obviously, you know, the FA Cup is traditionally, you know, or historically the more glamorous competition, and it's a great end of season and all that. But from this game, really, we should have saw what St. James's Park was like a few days later. I don't think, you know, it's a great loss now, you know. We know.
Well said. Wanted to get back to it. There were so many players that stood out against that Leicester City side. Bruno got the official man of the match. Dan Byrne, obviously, with a goal to his name. Joe Linton was absolutely outstanding in the middle of the field. But I wanted to give a special mention to someone who doesn't get a lot of plaudits, and it's Joe Willock. Looking at his stats after the game, Ali, he covered so much ground. The pace of him and his utilisation of the ball has come on so much under Eddie Howe. And I just wanted to say, in today's crazy transfer market, at 25 million, he looks like a snip.
Absolutely, you know, he's the perfect example of those players that, you know, come in and, you know, they used to call it like money ball, and you know, obviously it doesn't always translate directly to football from American sports, but it's exactly such a good example of someone who comes in and does a perfect he's a perfect fit for the way this team plays. I was actually, I mean, you mentioned his stats, Pete. I was reading somewhere on social media the other day. You know, obviously Liverpool having their problems, you know, in recent weeks, the team hasn't been playing well. Clearly the midfield has, like, the intensity of the midfield has dropped off massively. So some people were looking at, like, the stats of Premier League players and said, who could come in and actually do, like, a really good job for Liverpool, take it back the intensity of the days when Wijnaldum was playing and Henderson was playing at his top form. And actually, Joe Willock came top of the top of the list of, like, suggestions, in terms of, like, the running, in terms of the pressing that he does. And I thought that was very interesting, you know. And again, you mentioned his fee. 25 million, it is absolutely a steal. Because you look at, like, some of the players that are thrown around, people who are, like, in play in that position, you know, a lot of the teams are looking for, you know, I mean, like you look at Tielemans or Caicedo, both at Leicester and a few other players, and you are talking in the 50 million, 60 million region, you know, pounds, and Joe Willock, what a bargain.
Absolutely. You mentioned those players, Ali, and I think the thing with Joe Willock is as well that people will always complain, fans will always complain that he needs to bring more to his game. When he first joined Newcastle, he probably single-handedly kept the tune up with those goals where he went on a run of that. But more importantly is his energy and what he brings. Point in case against Leicester, that first goal, they were down in the corner and it looked like Leicester City, they regained possession, but Willock didn't give up. And he went in for a challenge that he had no right to win, won it. And of course, the spin-off came of Dan Burn's goal. So a never-say-die attitude. Brilliant. You mentioned at the top about Manchester City and losing in a final to them, Ali. It got a whole lot easier, as you've said, given the lineup. No one's taken anything for granted, but let's be right about it. The path to Wembley is an awful lot easier without those cup specialists in there, isn't it?
Yeah, the path to Wembley and the path to actually winning it as well, you know? I mean, look, you know, obviously Manchester United will not be easy. Southampton won't be easy. I mean, and look, no. We know Eddie Howe will not be taking it lightly. And you know, if you're worried about City, then you should be worried about the team that beat City as well, you know? So obviously it shows that Southampton, though they're having massive problems, they are capable of like performances like the one, the 2-0 win over City. Yeah, they are inconsistent and, you know, probably will struggle to hit those heights again. But just goes to show that if you take your eye off the ball, you know, you can actually really suffer for them. I'm not sure. I would never say Pep Guardiola took it easy. He usually doesn't take it easy on anyone. But
they had a strong team out as well, City.
They had a strong team out, but, you know, like, but then you see, like, who they brought on in the second half, which was Kevin De Bruyne, Erling Haaland, you know, like, all these people are sitting on the bench, and you think, well, you know, fair enough, they've got the Manchester Derby coming up, so, you know, he's resting people, but in this particular case, it backfired. And while we were talking about Eddie Howe against Sheffield Wednesday, saying, did he pick the wrong team? You say, well, not really, you know, that team should have done better and should have won. I don't think Eddie Howe, disrespected Sheffield Wednesday. I think in this particular case, I wouldn't say Pep disrespected Southampton, but I would say it was a mistake.
I think he got it wrong. Yeah.
He got it wrong. And you know, when they panicked in the second half and threw on all these players, it just didn't work. Usually it works for City. It didn't this time. So, I mean, what, you know, the bottom line is it's fantastic news for Newcastle. Look, I mean, whichever way you spin it, with all due respect to Southampton, you know, you'd rather play for Southampton than Manchester City. And now, as you said earlier, you know, Wembley is really, really close, you know. And you and I were talking before the show, Pete, you mentioned the importance, the fact that Newcastle have the second leg at home.
Absolutely.
Which I think is massive in this particular case. Look, I'm not always, in the days when European football was still, the away goal still mattered. I think sometimes, you know, playing away from home second is actually beneficial, you know, in terms of the away goal, because, you know, you can, you know, going into the last stages of a match or into extra time, if you're away, you can still, you know, have control of maybe scoring that extra away goal that will change things, you know, massively and all that. But in European football, that's no longer the case. And in the League Cup, I think it only comes in at the end of extra time. So, or like the old rule, the away goals don't count in 90 minutes. So in this particular case, without the away goal, I think it's absolutely massive that Newcastle got the second leg at home. If you get an atmosphere like you did against Leicester, and I'm sure it's going to be the same and probably even more, again, if they go into that match, you know, with any sort of lead or like, you know, if it's a close game, I think, you know, they could really ride like the wave
12th man.
Of emotion. The wave of emotion that's going to be will be quite something, I think.
Special mention to the others as well, obviously, in that semi-final. A good old classic lineup, by the way. It's quite retro, the lineup, isn't it, for the semi-final? You've got Man United, you've got Forest. A word on Man United, who are installed as heavy favourites, Ali, through a couple of their own fanzines as well, saying that, you know, they've got to be they've got to look at it as though they're favourites, given that all teams are below them in the league. Hands up, I don't think we are, but I can see where they're coming from. If you're a Manchester United fan, you've got to fancy them, haven't you?
Yeah, look, I mean, United have been playing very well. Manchester United have been playing very well, I should say. They've been, I think, Erik ten Hag has really, you know, turned them around from, you know, they were a pretty poor team last year, you know, at certain, for long periods. And I think he's turned around pretty quickly, as Eddie Howe did at Newcastle. I think, you know, I do think it's strange that I've heard it from fans, and I've heard it from, you know, like, you know, certain media outlets as well, saying United become heavy favourites, odds-on favourites, you know, now that City are out. And I'm not sure where that's coming from. You know, I mean, by what measure is that? You know, I mean, it can only be a historical. You know, thing, you know, where, you know, Manchester United is like the biggest, you know, English football's biggest name. That's the only reason they would say that, because purely on form and on, you know, position in the table, then, you know, Newcastle should be favourites, or at least, you know, equal favourites. Or even if they're not, I would certainly not say United are heavy favourites. That's for sure, you know. So,
and facing, I think, a Forest, you know, side, Ali, who Steve Cooper has done, he's turned them around in the last month.
Yeah. They've done well. And as well, you know, like, I think United, while, again, giving credit to Erik ten Hag, play, you know, they haven't really hit, like, sort of, the heights, shall we say. You know, they've been very good, they've been very consistent, and they've been improving. And, you know, so all credit to them, and they are a very good team, clearly. But like, as I said, you know, you look at the table, and not just the table, you know, Newcastle are above them. You look at the performances as well. And, you know, I don't see United being favourites over Newcastle at this point in time, you know. You know, as you say, it's a great thing for Erik ten Hag, just as it is for Eddie Howe. As I've been saying, that it's a great competition, you know, to get you going, you know, like, in especially for ten Hag, it's his first season, and to be in a cup final, which he's not there yet, you know, but, like, should they get to the cup final, again, a great opportunity to get a trophy on the board, you know. This competition has been, I've said it time and again, you know, like, this competition has been so kind to so many managers. It's their first trophy. I think Mourinho's first trophy was there, you know. Even when he went to Manchester United, that was, it was his first trophy at Manchester United. So, you know, Ten Hag will be looking for that, but of course, Eddie will be as well.
Okay, feet on the ground, Ali. Back to domestic duty this weekend. There's a home game to be played against Fulham. Just looking ahead at that, though, as I do, a Toon win and a Manchester City side may be feeling the effect of that and struggling in a Manchester derby, because Man United are going to be well up for that if they don't get full point. Newcastle could see themselves closing the gap with the positive result to 1 point this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, look, in recent weeks, you know, Newcastle did actually go above Manchester City at some point, you know, at least overnight, and City came back. So they are, like, within touching distance. And again, you know, this is a great opportunity, because, you know, you look at the matches where City will drop points, and, you know, I know United have been quite disappointing in the derbies in recent years, but you know, this could be the one. You know, like, as you said, United are pretty consistent at the moment. They'll be on a high as well, while City will be a little bit, you know, down after the loss to Southampton. So, great opportunity. And of course, like, the bigger opportunity here is that this is a game. I mean, Newcastle will go in full of confidence. But, you know, again, I think you'd expect Newcastle to win this match.
Also, as well, looking at the domestic side, if we're trying to claw points back and maybe close the gap on the likes of Manchester City, Arsenal got a tough game as well. I mean, they've got the North London derby to consider. They'll be favourites alongside City in their respective derbies. But these derby games, it's the old cliche, isn't it? The form book can go out the window, so everything's to play for.
Yeah, and you know, look, I mean, you know, Newcastle should be looking up, you know, should be looking at Man City and Arsenal, you know. Why not? You know, absolutely. You've done the hard work to get there. You know, dream big and go for it. As much as, you know, we've said over the last few weeks, Eddie Howe will play down in public for sure, it's the right thing to do and all that. But, you know, this is a, you know, a fantastic opportunity to just go for it. You know, why not? You know, you're actually up there. You can go above City, and you have already shown that it's happened even briefly. So do it again and go for Arsenal. But also at the same time, you know, if you are going to be very pragmatic and keep your feet on the ground, you know, a win for wins for City and Arsenal mean that Tottenham and Manchester United drop behind Newcastle even further, and would give you that breathing space in the run up for, in the challenge for top four. So it's, you know, Newcastle will focus on trying to, let's beat Fulham. And then I think they will take positives whichever way those two derbies go.
Absolutely. Listen, Fulham themselves, as you quite rightly said, seventh. Got to ask you, he's closing in, and I can guarantee you'll return against Newcastle because he used to play for them, a bit of a cult hero. Aleksandar Mitrovic, in your opinion, AK, has he buried this myth that he can't do it in the Premier League this season?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think, sometimes, the myth of like players, they say, Dwight Gayle used to be another perfect example.
Absolutely.
Too good for the championship, not good enough for the Premier League, which is a bit harsh. And I think, not just harsh, it's inaccurate. Can't say things, like there were circumstances for, Mitrovic possibly not hitting the heights, at Newcastle earlier. And also Pete, look, players improve, over the years. It's been a while since he was at Newcastle. Yes, he didn't, wasn't on, didn't hit the expectations that were expected of him. But
nor did many in that side, did they?
Nor did many in that side, exactly. And some players just get sort of like stuck with that label, like not good enough for the Premier League. Look, he's proven it at international level. He's proven it in the Championship, and now he's proving it in the Premier League. I think it's time to sort of bury the whole myth about him, like not being good enough for it. And it is strange, it's only certain players who have that thrown at them, and it kind of tends to stick. And it's just a lazy, lazy way to describe someone. Ultimately, it's absolutely meaningless. I mean, what does that even mean? He's having a great season. Fulham are having a great season. I think it's going to be tough for Newcastle. But again, just the way Newcastle are playing at the moment, pretty much fancy them against anyone.
They were looking. Manchester United was said to be looking at Mitrovic. They're looking at obviously a target man. It looks like Weghorst, that's ongoing with Man United. But Mitro was mentioned in that role. So speaking of the excitement of Wembley and everything that Newcastle are involved in, Ali, the transfer window's taken a bit of a backseat, hasn't it? But it's still there. And look, you know what? We're coming up to halfway through the month. One transfer rumour that won't go away, Alan Saint-Maximin, Spurs are still interested and still sniffing around.
I mean, I, this is an interesting one. I'm not sure how strong these links are, I find it strange a little bit for a couple of reasons, from both like from Tottenham's side and from his side, like Tottenham are quite strong in the position that he plays in, obviously Son plays there, and so does Richarlison, who's, yep, obviously hasn't been first choice, but, he's, I hesitate to call him backup for Son, but like he plays on that same side, play like wide on the left, cutting inside, which is Alan Saint-Maximin's position. So I find it strange that maybe he'd want to leave. And maybe Tottenham, want to add a third person to that position. They might have different plans for him. Who knows? I think what I find more interesting, and I'm going to throw this back at you, Pete, is will Newcastle fans miss him? This is not to be ungrateful for what he's done to the club, but it just seems that in a way, with Eddie's system and with Eddie's squad and the level of performance, the intensity, almost but excited, and I think maybe he's lost that sort of status in the team. Obviously Bruno's come in and he's the main man, and just everybody's overperforming. And again, that's why I wanted to ask you about it. I want to throw it back at you. Has the club like slightly moved on, and the fans as well? Like, should he leave now? Would it be a massive blow?
It's a really good question, and the fact is, if you look at facts, the club have been before that Sheffield Wednesday defeat, you know, 15, 16 games on the spin without Alan involved up until recently. And again, only cameo performances. I'll throw a name at you, Ali, that is, it's heading down a similar path. The fans love a hero at Newcastle. And there's no doubt that, you know, Alan Saint-Maximin was that hero. Hatem Ben Arfa was another similar player, a maverick. On his day, could change a game. But how many days did he have? And if you ask yourself, honestly, as a Newcastle fan, all Newcastle fans could say, when was the last time Alan had a real day out? That was against Manchester City in a 3-3 home draw. Yeah. That was a long time ago. Yeah. Has the team evolved? Definitely. Is there still a place for Alan Saint-Maximin in the team? Definitely, possibly. It's down to what goes on, his application. And, you know, he's struggled with injury of late. Hopefully he's put that behind him. He needs to work for the team. Is he that player? Does, you know, is it the maverick attitude in his game that makes him special? Can he adapt to becoming a team player? Who knows? Eddie's got big questions. And whilst Alan needs to play, he said himself just this week that hopefully, you know, he can get settled down because he wants to be challenging for international. He wants to play for France. And in order to do that, he's got to play games.
No, absolutely. Look, I mean, that's another, I mean, one major factor for players, and this is something obviously Eddie Howe and as all managers look for, you know, is availability. You can't blame players for getting injured, of course, and all that. But some reason certain players can be relied on, you know, season after season. You know, like a player who played for the team I support and played for your club as well, Pete, Gini Wijnaldum, just never seemed to get injured, you know. And like a lot of Liverpool fans at the moment say, like, how we miss someone like that who's just, you know, reliability game after game after game. Mo Salah is a bit like that, you know. And so it's not Alan Saint-Maximin's fault that he's getting injured, of course, you know, and all that. But it is a factor, you know, at the end of the day.
It's circumstance.
But, you know, you want someone you can count on game after game after game of being available, being consistent, you know. And so, as you said, you know, the club seems to have, you know, that in that long unbeaten run seems to have like adapted quite easily with him not there, you know. And And this is why I mentioned, you know, like, it's harsh to say, like, how's the club moved on? But like, Pete, I mean, you know, I might be oversimplifying things here, but one thing I've always noticed, and it's like when things are going bad at a club, you tend to sort of like hang on to any, like, any bright spot. And when things were a bit flat at Newcastle, you know, under Ashley, under Bruce, you know, he was the one bright spot that made, you know, people maybe stand up and cheer and all that. And then when things are going really well, like, the focus is no longer on an individual. You know, you're not looking for any, you know, bright spot. You're actually looking at the big picture, and you're really focusing on the team and how the team is doing. And it's maybe unfortunate for Alan Saint-Maximin, but there's no room for sentiment, you know, for being sentimental at this point, you know. So
100%.
Yeah.
100%. You mentioned a name there, Steve Bruce, who retired from football this week. I'm sure that if you put that to Newcastle United fans, there's no getting away from it. I think he retired a long time ago in their eyes. Listen, he also took a little bit of credit for Joe Linton and also for advising the board to maybe go with Eddie Howe because he'd taken the club as far as it could go. Words which I won't dwell on. Just wanted to give it a quick mention and wish Steve Bruce all the best in his retirement. Listen, Ali, finally, after all the midweek excitement, it's time to get back to the business of Black and White with Arab News, something that you do very well. Although last week you were a little off, but we'll forgive you that. It's prediction time for this weekend, and it's Newcastle United, a home game, traditional Sunday, 6 o'clock kickoff here in the UAE. What's your score?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think the fact that it's at home, you know, tips it towards Newcastle. I mean, I would have probably gone for a Newcastle win even if it was away. But Fulham, as you're saying, you know, Fulham have been playing really well and this season. So, but at home, on the back of reaching the semi-finals, I think the fans will be up for it. The place will be bouncing. I can see like Newcastle 2, Fulham 0.
Good. We'll take that in a heartbeat. 2-0 to Newcastle. Listen, that's about it for this episode. All I want to remind you is that we won't be home for tea because hopefully we're going to Wembley. That's it for another edition of Black and White with Arab News. How are the lads?